bringing in Tom Riello here, who's now caffeinated and ready. Good morning, Tom.
Todd, I only have one comment. How would that be different from any other soccer game?
Riello's
quick with a joke.
Shots fired.
Now that's
shots
over.
Fired.
We can go back to
light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. Oh wait, Billy Joel. Okay.
Uh-huh.
How y'all doing today? Doing great.
Yeah.
Today's a little cloudy. A little cloudy over here in the capital of dreams. Mm-hmm. Look like it's gonna rain a little bit. We got band camp going on. It's in the air, guys. It's in the air. School's about to start.
Wait, those are fighting words for a lot of people who are still thinking it's July and vacation.
Not for Riello, baby. Get back in there. Let's get back in there.
You brought to our attention, Tom, an article in PillarCatholic.com, which is a great site, and they do a lot of deep dives into things of the church. Building a culture of vocations, and they kind of highlighted where vocations are going really well, and then some of the challenges of places where it's not going well, right?
Yeah, you know, it's the million-dollar question that we always, I think as a church, we have to be willing to address and talk about. One of my favorite priests to just talk to and jabber with is Father Pat Arensberg. And the reason for that is because he comes from a football family. So he loves football. He loves talking about football. And he loves talking about the mind of football, the mind of the coach, because his father, Joe, was a coach and involved in the game, and his brother, Thomas, and, you know, just a football family. Mm-hmm. And so we were just recently talking, and years ago, I bought the book Winning Edge by Bill Walsh, who is the legendary football coach for the San Francisco 49ers and so on and so forth. And I can't find the book. You can't buy that book anywhere. It sells for like $5,000 on eBay.
Ouch.
I'm not kidding.
Ouch.
Big mistake, Tom. Find that book. Mom, where's my book? So anyway, in that book, I was telling a story about how he found the great wide receiver, Jerry Rice. They were in Houston, Texas. This fledgling network that was 5 years old at the time, named ESPN, had highlights, and ESPN would fill their highlights with, you know, the great plays of the day. Well, they showed the highlights of a little-known football player at a little-known football school known as Mississippi Valley State. And Jerry Rice had an unbelievable game. He caught like 16 balls for 250 yards, and it was like four touchdowns. And Walsh was watching this in his hotel room, and he saw it. And immediately, a lot of coaches might have been like, ah, that's a great game, and just gone to bed. Not Walsh. Walsh called up to the room one of his scouts, whose job it was to kind of find guys that were off the beaten path. And he said, hey, find out what you know about this kid. Tell me about him. And let's get to work on him. Well, the rest is history. Nobody knew what they had in Jerry Rice. Moral of the story, curiosity. Folks, when Wichita is leading the country in vocations and ordinations for 30 years in a row on a typical basis, now every now and then there's an ebb and a flow, a diocese of 116,000 Catholics, Ellen, they currently have 37 seminarians.
Whoa.
Let that sink in. They have been averaging about 4 to 6 ordinations a year consistently. Some years 10, some years multiples of 10, some years 8, some years 2. But consistently ordaining men to the priesthood. I really think it's a Bill Walsh watching ESPN Jerry Rice moment. I think it's high time people do visit Wichita and say, what are you doing? Because what we cannot say, and it reminded me of something Tom said last week when he was talking to us on the show, the inevitability of decline, the inevitability of failure. Well, we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, the Holy Spirit will call whom he will. That's true to a point. At some point, it's almost dangerous for us to say that, well, the Holy Spirit's obviously favoring Wichita. Bite your tongue. That is not true. The Holy Spirit is as alive and working in Wichita as he is in New York, as he is in San Francisco. Okay? But there are things in play, no doubt about it. Because San Francisco, 450,000 Catholics, zero ordinations last year. And now they're adding 6 seminarians this year, which is a wonderful thing. But you're seeing the situation where certain areas and certain places, they're in a real vocational Siberia. But then there's places where they're not. And I think we need to look at some of those areas and say, what are they doing? What's going on there?
Do you have any recommendations, Tom, to help us foster vocations in the Archdiocese of Mobile?
To go back to the great Father Pat Arensberg, when he was, people forget, there was a little time after Father Alex, it became Father Burnett and Father Arensberg were the vocations directors, and then Father Victor. Well, Father Pat, he was up here in Montgomery, so, you know, we saw each other all the time because he was always at the school and throwing the football around with the kids and visiting the classrooms and baptizing kids coming into the church. And so he had gone to a conference on vocations. And one of the things that they did talk about, and one of the things that, that they did notice, was that there does seem to be a openness to vocations in the Midwest. And the data seems to back that up. And part of that, I think a lot of it, has to do with the great Driscoll, grace builds on and perfects nature, that there's a natural disposition amongst the Midwesterner that's a little bit more docile, a little bit more trusting, a little bit more open. There does seem to be that in play because the Holy Spirit works in and through our nature, right? He doesn't work against our nature, but he works in and through our nature. And in the article, that does get brought up by Bishop Carl Kemi, who is the Bishop of Wichita. But as he pointed out, this vocations boom, it didn't start in the last 12 years since he's been bishop. He says, I have inherited this. And they've just deepened it. But they have definitely borne so much fruit from that culture of vocation that they have, that they have collaborated with the Holy Spirit on to create a vocations boom that is not one or two years. Like, okay, take for example, Miami had 9 men. But here's the thing. This is the buried lead. What's the big difference about Wichita's vocations compared to, say, Metuchen in New Jersey? Almost all of Wichita's are homegrown. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the Holy Father, Pope Francis, of blessed memory, it was about 2015, 2016, and he was addressing some of the vocations issues. And one of the things he said to the Western countries, and I remember this conversation because Archbishop Rohde and I had a conversation about it. I was talking to His Excellency about the Diocese of Metuchen that had ordained in like a 3-year period, like 26 men. But the buried lead was like 22 of them, what they were last year seminarians that were from other countries. And the diocese worked out some kind of deal to ordain them for their own diocese. Mm-hmm. And the Archbishop Rohde said, yeah, you know, that's a very interesting way to get priests. And the Holy Father said the same thing. He said, it is not an answer to take priests from other areas so that they can support your area where you don't have them. Mm-hmm. And so that may be a Band-Aid, but you know, there are areas in the church that need priests every bit as much as we do. You know, when our kids go to Guatemala for a mission trip, you know, the entire town will come out because they don't have the priests. And so what does it say about a diocese if we're bringing in guys from Guatemala to be priests here, but not priests in Guatemala, for example? And Pope Francis said that's not necessarily a recipe. And so the buried lead is, what are we doing in our own diocese?
No. Did we lose him?
Tom?
He's probably still talking away there.
All right, I'll call.
I, you know, to his point, I think it's easier to nurture vocations in a smallish area or even a more rural area than a big city where you get lost in the noise. You know, the article talks about San Francisco and just that they don't have a lot of young men in families being formed there because it's too expensive to live. And the families have moved farther afield or away.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it starts even before you get to seminary. This starts in the formation of the people being faithful people in the community.
Not just faithful, but I'll tell you, as a youth minister, you know, the struggles that I had is there were young men who came to me who had a stirring in their hearts and an openness to the possibility for priesthood. And their families were not as supportive as you would think that they would be.
Yeah. You know, even regular church-going Catholics.
Regular church-going. I'm Tom. I don't know if you've experienced this, but in youth ministry, there was a lack of support from families. Mm-hmm. You know, they would be like, well, my son really should just get his degree first.
And then he can,
you know, discern. And I get it. You know, sometimes it was the financial things and that.
Yep.
You know, that made sense because even one mom's like, all right, let's say my son goes to minor seminary for 4 years and then discerns out, what's he going to do with that philosophy degree?
Mm-hmm.
That's a valid question, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, but I'm like, this is discerning priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello, Tom.
I remember when the Sister Servants of the Eternal Word came to ACYC my first year when I was working for the diocese, and that's exactly what Sister Mother Superior said to us. She said that the biggest obstacle to vocations would be the parents.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to do that. You want to go to college. You want to have a family. And that's all well and good. And those are wonderful, wonderful aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be like, wow, oh my son's going to become a priest. Let's throw a party. This is a beautiful thing. This is a great blessing. So I guess you guys lost me. I was making some amazing points.
We said that you were.
Ellen, I heard what you said before the phone actually just did drop out on me. I don't know what's going on. But the smaller does work. We've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that the era of the 2 million dioceses, it's just got to go. It's just silly. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. It's just too big. There's something special about a diocese where you actually get to know your bishop, and you don't get confirmed by an auxiliary bishop who's coming up. Auxiliary is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. When you need that, absolutely. But some dioceses are just so big. They're just so big. They're 2-3 million Catholics. And parishes are, you know, 4,000 Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
I do think one of the blessings of Wichita and Lincoln is that they are small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there is a sense in which you actually create a diocesan and parish family connection.
Well, mm-hmm. I would agree, smaller diocese, but I think we need bigger families.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to foster people having lots of kids because, mm-hmm. like there was a woman that said to me, oh, it must be so nice to have all these grandkids. I'm like, it is. I've only got 2 married kids thus far. And quite frankly, right now, in potentia, we could have 5 priests in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Still 5 priests. I mean, come on, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd borrow one from the Sylvester family, make him an honorary Riello.
The only other point I would make about that, and only because I was visiting Campbell River, Canada, small area. I told you I went to Mass there. And, you know, maybe 150 people at a Sunday Mass or only 2 Masses, yet the area is as big as Daphne, if not bigger. So the culture has to be in play, too. You can have a small area that's devoid of vocations just as much as you can have a big area.
Right.
And I think it does go back to having faithful families that live out the faith and practice the faith and have these conversations and have more children so they're not clinging tight to the 2.1 that they had and not being open to what the Lord has for them and their family. So it's a domino effect that goes down the road.
One of the things that I read some years ago, it was from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. I shared it with the great Carucci, I remember, years ago. It was a great article. But one of the things that the vocations director said back then was, with some of the things that we're doing in the United States, we're not really feeling the vocation crisis. And the point that he made was, because we're bringing in priests from other areas, we're filling gaps at unprecedented levels. And he said, so we have not really felt the reality of, hey, you know what? We've got 30 parishes that don't have a priest. Like we don't have, you know, cause we're, you know, that's how New York is basically able to survive. That's what has kept New York from, but even with that, we read in the paper all the time. And I love the Archdiocese of New York, obviously it's my home diocese. My brother's a priest there, but it's a real struggle. And you have consolidation of parishes. You have, you know, cause you don't have the replacement for the priest. And we're not just talking 1 or 2 or 3. We're talking literally 15 to 20% of the diocese. And again, that's not just New York. That's Chicago. That's a lot of our bigger cities, especially facing that crisis. And I just wish I had that article. It was about 15 years ago, the vocations director from Cincinnati was talking about the Band-Aid that we've been able to put on. And we have to face up to the fact that, Todd, you're 100% right. We have to encourage vocations within our own families.
Just put it on the table. Put it on the table. I mean, the other day I got a video from my daughter. Her two sons were playing Mass.
Yeah. Mm.
3-year-old and 1-year-old playing Mass. Put it on the table. That's all you've got to do. You wouldn't remark if they were like playing plumbers or playing firemen. You know, let them play Mass.
My wife made vestments. I won't out our one son, but he happens to live in Mobile and he's a cop now. For him, so he could play Mass, and he'd have the little Ritz crackers, and so Anthony would be the priest, and Peter and Juliana would be his congregation. And every now and then, the congregation would get in trouble by the priest who would as the brother. You know, it's like, hey, you got to listen to me. And the investments.
Oh, yeah. Good days. Catholic families. Tom Riello, thanks for joining us. We'll speak with you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks,
Bye.
Tom.